Good morning. I have a good audience here early this morning. I want you to know that when we came from Arkansas, we drug a little bit of this cool weather down here with us, so appreciate it, okay? I don't know how long we can keep it, but it's really nice, enjoyable. Have you noticed in your life that if you've lived long enough, that you almost become different people at different times in your life? I look back at myself a few years ago, and it's almost like I'm a different person in many ways than I was. And I know that my children, even though they're kind, I know that at least there have to be some times when they think, who is this man that takes my kids to incredible pizza and spends 3 hours with them back there, you know, with the video games, and takes them to laser tag and gets in there with them and runs around shooting in the dark. Who is this guy? And I wonder that myself because I don't know him. He's a different guy than I've known all my life. And so I've always wondered what it was that happened that caused this. And with a little tongue-in-cheek here this morning, I'm going to explain to you why this has happened. I'm glad to find out so that I can know why I am the way that I am today. On the first day, God created the dog and said, sit by all day by the door of your house and bark at anyone who comes in or walks past. For this, I'll give you a span of 20 years. The dog said, that's a long time to be barking. How about only 10 years and I'll give you back the other 10? So God agreed. On the second day, God created the monkey and said, entertain people, do tricks, make them laugh. For this, I'll give you a 20-year lifespan. The monkey said, tricks for 20 years? That's a pretty long time to perform. How about I give you back 10 like the dog did? And God agreed. And on the third day, God created the cow and said, you must go into the field with a farmer all day long and suffer under the sun, have calves, give milk to support the farmer's family. For this, I'll give you a lifespan of 60 years. The cow said, that's kind of a tough life. You want me to live for 60 years. How about 20 and I'll give you back the other 40? And God agreed. On the fourth day, God created man and said, eat, sleep, play, marry, enjoy your life. For this, I'll give you 20 years. But the man said, only 20 years? Could you possibly give me my 20, the 40 the cow gave back, the 10 the monkey gave back, and the 10 the dog gave back? That makes 80, okay? Okay, God said, you asked for it. So that's why for the first 20 years, we eat, sleep, play, and enjoy ourselves. For the next 40 years, we slave in the sun to support our family. For the next 10 years, we do monkey tricks to entertain the grandchildren. And for the next 10 years, we sit on the front porch and bark at everyone. So now you understand life. Our responsibility to honor our parents is written into the fabric of the Bible. And I really do appreciate the comments at the Lord's Supper table. That really, it's just incredible sometimes how the Lord works. And it feels like a tag team up here that we just coordinate with one another. And so just keep in mind the things that have already been said, the scriptures that have already been read this morning, and the comments that have been made. The fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments says, honor your father and your mother. That's the way it's supposed to be. The first four of the Ten Commandments deal with our relationship to God. I know that you know that. And the last six outline our responsibilities to others, our social responsibilities and obligations. And first on this very basic list of relationship commands is our obligation to our parents. And so this morning I want to say Happy Mother's Day. And as a gift to mothers, I'm going to preach a sermon to your children. So let's all listen. This is basic, but it's also beneficial that we honor our mother and our father. It is good for us to do that. So young people, I want you to listen up this morning. I want you to notice the promise that's associated with that command also. It says, honor your father and your mother, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So it is a condition. And it's not just in that one place. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, honor your mother and your father so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Proverbs 4:10, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So if you want to have a good life, we're going to talk about the foundation that you must lay. And this is God's message to you. This is not my speculation. This is what God said to you. It seems pretty obvious that God wants us to understand that to be good to our parents is the equivalent of being good to ourselves. But why? Why does honoring our parents mean a good life for us? Why does God connect those things together? Well, I'm going to give you three basic reasons that I believe that that's true. First of all, because whenever we honor our mother and our father, it makes society stable. This child-parent relationship is a fundamental building block of all society. It's basic to life. It's what makes societies work. The command to honor your parents gives stability to a society. Sunday school teacher once asked her students, can you think of a command that teaches you how to act toward your parents? And almost in unison, they came back and said, honor your father and your mother. She said, good. And then she asked another question. Is there a command that teaches you how to act toward your brother? And it got real quiet. Finally, one little guy spoke up and he said, thou shalt not kill. Every nation is made up of families. And when families crumble, society comes apart. It is that way. This command was taken seriously in ancient Israel. They practiced, in fact, whenever a child did not honor his mother and his father and were rebellious to them. You remember what happened to them, don't you? They took them out and killed them. And the mother and the father were commanded to be the first ones to cast the stone. God takes this thing really, really seriously to honor your mother and your father. Our problems today with juvenile crime, with delinquency, with vandalism, with illegitimacy are not primarily due to income, education, or environment. It's a family problem. It's a problem within families. And when families are functioning as they should, then society will be stable. It's kind of interesting. I grew up during the 60s and the 70s, and lots of kids have heard their parents talk about those times, and they say, I've had lots of kids come to me and say, boy, that would have been a really neat time to be a teenager. You think so, huh? It wasn't as great as mom and dad might be telling you. We see things sometimes through rose-colored glasses. The 60s and 70s were a time that were certainly marked by widespread social unrest and rebelliousness on the part of lots of young people. Now, it just so happened that my dad never did let me off the tractor, so I never got to participate in those kind of things. But in the 70s, last part of the 70s, Ann Landers ran a poll in which she asked the question to parents, if you had it to do over again, would you have children? Interestingly, 70% said no. Now, I don't know if there's ever been any other time in our country's history that would have been the case. But after those 60s and 70s, then parents are really distressed. And one woman wrote, I've lived 70 years, and I speak from experience as a mother of five. Was it worth it? No. Not one of our children, she continued, has given us any pleasure. God knows we did our best, but we were failures as parents, and they are failures as people. Now, I'm sorry for those children in that home, and I certainly don't believe that everyone, I know that not everyone felt that way, but there was some of that after that period of the 60s and the 70s. Thankfully, things have changed some since then, but it makes us realize how important the command is to honor your parents. It's part of the glue that holds the world together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, there will be terrible times in the last days. And then he characterizes those terrible times. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Failure to honor parents is a mark of a society that's self-destructing. And to honor our parents is, first of all, to make our society stable. Second reason that it's good for us is it makes our future secure. What it means to honor your parents changes with age. I don't mean with ages, but as we age and as our parents age, then our responsibilities, our roles change. Whenever we're young, we honor our parents by obedience. Whenever we are grown, we honor our parents with respect. And whenever they grow old, we honor our parents by supporting them and caring for them. It's always been a sacred obligation for children as they grow older to take care of their parents in their old age. It's responsibility that God has given us. In Leviticus 19:32, rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. Did you catch that? Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. He connects those two together. When you show respect for the elderly, he says, you're showing respect for me. God ties those things together. And if the antithesis of that is true, if you flip that coin over, what is it saying to God whenever we don't show respect for the elderly, for those who are older? Older people are honored and respected members of our family. And they're not just some nuisance to be shoved aside. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, it says, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so, and catch this word, repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. Note that Paul says that our care for our parents and those older members in our family, when they grow older, is repayment. Something that we owe. A responsibility that God has put on us. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives or the members of his own house, especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Caring for our parents as they grow older is a sacred responsibility that God has given to us. One that unfortunately many have tried to avoid, much like they did in the first century in Mark chapter 7, verse 8 through 13. You remember that Jesus chided the Pharisees because he said, you take the money that should have been used to take care of your parents, and you say, this is something dedicated to God, and so you use it in some other way. And you, by your traditions, disobey the commands of God. You set aside God's command. What was God's command in that instance? Take care of your parents when they get older. It's not an easy task these days. And it's very emotionally draining whenever our roles reverse. And we, in essence, become the parent. And in some cases, our parents become the child. When we live so much longer, and when the medical field has given so many options for prolonging life, and when we rarely live in close proximity to one another, and parents live many hundreds of miles away in many cases, and we have a life established somewhere else, then lots of difficulties come when older people don't want to live with their children. It can be and often is an emotionally draining time of life when you reach the point that your parents become your children. But it's necessary. It's commanded. And it is making our own future secure. Now here's a little story I ran across. I don't really like the story, but it just, and I put it out of this lesson a number of times, and I brought it back because it just, I couldn't find anything else that illustrated what I wanted to say as much as I think this does. It is a fable that's written by Joy Davidson in a book that's entitled Smoke on the Mountain. And this is the fable that she wrote. Once upon a time, there was a little old man. His eyes blinked and his hands trembled. When he ate, he clattered the silverware distressingly. He missed his mouth with a spoon as often as not and dribbled a bit of his food on the tablecloth. Now he lived with his married son, having nowhere else to live, and his son's wife was a modern young woman who knew that in-laws should not be tolerated in a woman's home. "I can't have this," she said. So she and her husband took the little old man gently but firmly by the arm and led him to the corner of the kitchen. They set him on a stool and gave him his food in an earthenware bowl. From then on, he always ate in the corner, blinking at the table with wistful eyes. One day, his hands trembled rather more than usual, and the earthenware bowl fell and broke. "If you're a pig," said his daughter-in-law, "then you'll eat out of a trough." So they made him a little wooden trough, and he got his meals in that. These people had a 4-year-old son of whom they were very fond. One supper time, the young man noticed his boy playing intently with some bits of wood and asked what he was doing. "I'm making a trough," he said, smiling up for approval, "to feed you and Mama when I get to be big." The man and his wife looked at each other for a while and didn't say anything, and then they cried a little. And they went to the corner and took the little old man by the arm and led him back to the table. They set him in a comfortable chair and gave him food on a plate, and from then on, nobody ever scolded him when he clattered or spilled or broke things. Smoke on the mountain. Any society which destroys the family will destroy itself. Any society that despises age and worships youth is headed for disappointment and will eventually self-destruct. The Bible says when we honor our parents, we're doing ourselves a favor. Why? Because, for one thing, we're teaching our children how to treat their parents. You see, social security really isn't very social, that is. The government can mail out money, but it can't mail out concern or love or caring. Real social security comes from setting the pattern by parents to their children. And then thirdly, it prepares us for success in every part of our life. Why is honoring our parents good for us? Well, consider the alternative. What's the opposite of honoring your parents? To be disrespectful? To be ungrateful? To be selfish? To be callous? To be self-centered? It's hard to imagine how anybody could truly prosper or succeed in life with these attitudes, isn't it? The home is a laboratory for life. And if you don't learn in your home respect for authority, if you don't learn to listen and to follow instructions, then you'll go out into the world with a chip on your shoulder, thinking that everything revolves around you and thinking the world owes you a living, and you're going to find out that you're on a quick road to disaster, and you're going to be miserable your whole life, because life just isn't that way. And not everybody else out there in the world loves you like your parents love you. There's a very real sense in which to despise our parents is to despise ourselves. We can run away from home, but home will always be a part of us. You can't get away from it. It's like the prodigal son. He tried his best to get away from his home and his home life. But he couldn't, could he? If we haven't honored or respected our parents, we need to change our attitude for our own good. It may be that we need to recognize where we were wrong and do something about it while we can still do something about it. We may need, in some cases, even to forgive our parents of certain things, things that they've done wrong, and put the past behind us. Honor your parents doesn't say honor your parents if they're good parents. It says honor your parents. And sometimes I realize that parents don't act very honorably, but for your own good, if nothing else, honor your parents. Learn to respect them. Learn to accept them. Learn to love them. Even forgive them. And then we're mature and we're able to accept and face the world. Honor your parents. There's no place for hatred or bitterness or anger or holding grudges of the past. It's a time for us to forgive those people that are the closest to us in our world. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, once again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And if there weren't any other reason, do you know that that's enough? This is right. And as Christians, we want to do what's right. It's right. That means it's good. It's appropriate. We're in their debt. We owe them our respect. We owe them gratitude. We owe them love. And we need to honor them for their sake, for God's sake, and for our sake. And honor them while we can. Because there's lots of folks in this audience today that we don't have our parents anymore. And so we can't call our mother this morning as much as we would like to. And so if you can, make sure you do. Not just today, but every day in your whole life. The next verse is in Ephesians 6, said, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. It's reiterated in the New Testament, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. That's what God said to you. And so if you want to have a good life, and if you want to have long life on this earth, then that's what God said for you to do. That's the foundational principle that you put. It's right toward God, and it's good for us. It makes society stable. It makes our future secure. It prepares us to have a successful life. And so, mothers, happy Mother's Day. And as sons and as daughters, we sit at your feet, and we owe our very lives to you. And we owe what we are today because of your love and your kindness and your patience. And because you were able to look at us and see a future and do everything within your power to bring that future about. And with that kind of help and support, and with God who created us, and who looks at us and sees for us an incredible future and is working in our lives to bring that future about, then one of the things that he tells us, if you want to build a good life for yourself, then here's one of the foundation blocks that you must put in place. Honor your mother and your father. Let's stand and sing.